Today's daf is Brachis Daf Mem. We are at the very top of Daf Mem Amar Aleph Amar Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Alisa. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss the topic of the sixth perek, which is Ketzad Mvarchan Ala Peres, the most basic halachos of Birchas Hanenah. So before you eat something, we know by now, you have to make a bracha. Gemara said at Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph that the makar to the idea that you can't eat without making a bracha is not a pasuk, rather it's a svara. Asur loy la'adam sheyehana min ha'olam hazeh loy bracha. It's not okay for a person to derive pleasure from this world without first acknowledging from where the pleasure comes. That's why before you eat, before you derive pleasure, you make a bracha. It's self-explanatory that if you have to make a bracha before you eat, that you can't be mafsik between the bracha and when you actually eat. So you make a bracha and takeif immediately after you make the bracha, you're supposed to eat. Says the Gemara, on that note, there are certain exceptions to the rule, meaning there are times where somebody makes a Birchas Hanenin and it would be okay for him to be mafsik between the bracha that he made and actually eating the food. Amarav, tul broich, enoy tzorich levorich. If somebody is being moitzi, a group of people, with a bracha, and he now takes a piece of bread, a piece of challah, and he says, tol breich, take from this bread that I just made a bracha on. The halacha is he wouldn't have to make another bracha, meaning it's not considered a hefsik between his bracha and the food that he ate. Havo melech, havo lifton, tzarech levarech. If somebody makes a bracha on bread and he realizes they didn't have salt or he didn't have some other dip to put the bread into, and he says, havo melech, bring salt, havo lifton, bring a dip, tzarech levarech, that is considered a hefsik, he would have to make a bracha again. Rabbi Yechon says, afilu hiviu melech, hiviu lifton, nami ain't tzarech levarech. No, that's not considered a hefsik. Gavaluturi, gavaluturi. What if somebody makes a bracha, he sits down in front of bread, hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz, and then he says, will somebody please prepare some food for my animals? So the halacha is tzarech levarech. That's clearly a hefsek. And being that it's a hefsek, you'd have to make another bracha. Rav Sheshes said, afilu gava leturi nami ein tzarech levarech. It's not considered a hefsek. Why not? He based it on something that he heard from Rav. Dom Rav Yudam Rav. Also la'adam she'yoichal. A person is not allowed to eat kodim she'yitam ha'ichal v'hemtoi. Before he feeds his animals. She'nema v'nasati esev b'sadcha livhemtecha. And what does it say afterwards? So first a person is supposed to feed his animals, then he's supposed to eat himself. So being that there's a halacha that you're not allowed to eat before you feed the animals, and this person realized after he made the bracha that he didn't feed his animals yet, so it's okay for him to say, gavaleturi, prepare some food for my shor, prepare some food for my animals, and it wouldn't be considered a hafsik. The point of this gemara is very straightforward, and that is that of course you're not allowed to be mafsik. You can't start talking after you make a bracha before you eat. If, however, what you say is l'tzorech the suda, then it would be okay. So if you want to give someone a piece of bread, he doesn't realize it, that's fine. If you need salt, that's okay. If you realize that you didn't prepare the food for your animals yet, and you're not allowed to eat before you feed your animals, that too would be okay. Amar Rava Bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabchi, on this note, Rava Bar Shmuel sent the name Rabchi, in a b'tzei resoy, l'vtzoya, ad sheviu melech liftan lifnei kol echad v'echad. So if a group of people are sitting together to eat, so think of a Shabbos meal. So the balabayas, who's going to make the bracha, and he's going to be mitzi everybody, has to make sure that everybody has salt or liftan, some dip, in front of them, because otherwise those people will have to be mafsik from when he makes the bracha until they actually eat. And the katchila, you could be mafsik if that's what happens, but why put yourself in that kind of situation? So in habitzeya rashay levtzaya until he makes sure that there won't be a hefsek. Rava Bar Shmuel ikhlal beresh galusa. So Rava Bar Shmuel is the one who said this halach. He said the name Rav Chiya. He was once by the resh galusa. Afiku le rifta, they brought him bread. Ubatzal lehedya, and as soon as they brought him the bread, he made the bracha. Meaning he didn't look around to make sure that he had salt, or that the people that he was going to be moitzi had salt. So amulei, they told him hadar mar mishmaite. Were you chayzer? Meaning, did you retract your halacha? Aren't you the one that taught us? Ein habitzei rashay levtzaya achi aviu melachay lifton lifnei kol echad v'echad. Say here, Rava Bar Shmuel, who's the marid shmeitza of that halacha, he's the one who said that halacha. he himself wasn't Doirish Umakayim. He found himself in a situation where he made Hamotzi without making sure that he had salt in front of him. So he told him, Leis Dein Tzarech Peshash. He said, it's true. Ordinarily, bread requires salt. But this bread that I'm eating right now does not require salt. What's the pshat? So Rashi explains that the reason we dip bread in salt is because bread tastes better when you dip it into salt or some other dip. And as a result, when you make a bracha on food, you want the food to taste as good as it could possibly taste. So why just eat bland bread if you can make it taste a little bit better? So the idea of dipping it into salt is to make the bread taste better. It's to give it some chashivos. So Rav Bar Shmuel said that this bread that I'm eating now, he was by the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa, these were very wealthy people. So he said, this is wonderful bread. It doesn't need salt. It doesn't need any dip. As a result, there's no Indian of waiting for salt. We'll get back to this later. So we mentioned something that Rav Bar Shmuel said in the name of Rav Chiya. So the Gemara mentioned something else that Rav Bar Shmuel said in the name of Rav Chiya, something completely unrelated to what we're talking about. If somebody stands and urinates, so he's not going to completely empty his bladder, meaning there'll still be some meiraglayim left over. If somebody wants to make sure that he completely empties his bladder, again, completely unrelated, he should sit. Why? Because if he stands, the person may be concerned that some of the urine is going to splash back up. It's gonna make him wet. Maybe make him tummy. So it's for that reason. That's not an eye. So what people usually do is they'll hold back a little bit at the end. If he's sitting, there's no such concern. I'm Rav Kana said, if to read the fine print. If he's urinating into afati chayach, into soft dirt, so over there, there's no concern that it may bounce back. As a result, it's going to get absorbed in the soft afar. So even if he stands, this is not something to think about. So what if somebody doesn't have afar tikayach and he's not in a position where he can sit and urinate? He has to stand. So what should he do? He wants to empty his bladder, but subconsciously he may not, right? So yami b'makom gavoy, he should stand in a very high place. V'yashal makom majun, and he should urinate on an angle like this, he doesn't have to worry. After you finish eating, you should always eat salt. After you finish drinking, you should always drink water. And if you do that, you're going to live a healthy lifestyle. After you finish eating, eat salt. After you drink, you should drink water. A third brisa, if somebody eats and he didn't eat salt afterwards, or he drank and he didn't drink any water, during the day he should be worried about bad breath. If he does this at night, it's even more dangerous. Then he should be concerned about askara. So askara is an illness that the Gemara talks a lot about. In fact, the Gemara says, we had it earlier in the Masechta, that it's the most kasha of all the misois in the world. Apparently it was something that started in the stomach and went from there to the person's throat. But the point is that if somebody eats v'le'achol melach, shasa, v'le'shasa mayim, yidak mipnei askara, tanu rabbanan, hamakapa achilasi b'mayim, if somebody drinks a lot of water while he eats, meaning he drinks so much water that the food that he's eating is literally swimming in water, enu baladei chayla mi'ayim, very healthy, and he doesn't have to be concerned about any abdominal issues. The kama, okay, is there like a more specific amount? What does it mean that your food is swimming? Is there a ratio that we can run with? Rav Chisda, yeah, kitain lepas. For every piece of bread, a kitain of mayim. So you have to know how big the bread is and how big the kitain is. If somebody eats lentils, once in 30 days, so that's preventative that this person shouldn't come to ask Rav. If somebody eats lentils every day, then it's not good. So lentils in moderation, amazing. But if you do it every day, not good. My timer, what's so bad about eating adashim every day? Mishum the kosher l'reichape, bad breath. If somebody eats mustard once in 30 days, it's also very healthy. But if you eat mustard every day, it's not okay. My timer, mishum the kosher l'chushel l'libe, it's not good for the heart. Somebody eats small fish, einei boli dechoy l'meayim. That too is preventative that he shouldn't have any abdominal issues. Ela shadogim kitanim, fish, mafrin, umarbin, it causes the person to become healthier. If somebody eats ketzach, so Rashi says, Rabbi Seinu mefarshin naila balaz, which is fennel, that's a certain type of plant. Rashi says, I heard min zerum shesoyer nois of Eretz Yishmol. Something else. It's some other plant that they used to plant be Eretz Yishmol. Regardless, if somebody eats ketzach, whatever exactly it is, eni boli de kevle, it's good for the hearts. Meisvei, Roshon gam li olayim, ketzach, echot mishishim, samoni amoves. Ketzach's not good. In fact, it's one of the 60 types of natural poisons that Hashem created. So, is it good or is it not good? Actually, there, Roshon gam li olayim said, vayoshel mizrach garnay. If somebody has a storage house of ketzach, and he sleeps to the east of it, domai perosha, he deserves to die. Because he's putting himself in a terrible state of sakana. Because the western wind is going to come and it's going to blow the odor, the smell of the ketzach, and it could harm him. So here we have a ragel beketzach eni boiler de kevlev, and Rishon Gamliel made it sound like it's the most dangerous thing in the world. It's literally poison. So the Gemara says, Lekasha ha berechai ha betamai. The smell, the odor of ketzach is dangerous. The taste is not dangerous. Okay, so what are you supposed to do? So how do you eat it if you're not going to taste it? So the Gemara gives one idea. Rabbi Yirmiya's mother used to make for Rabbi Yirmiya a dish that involved ketzach. So she'd do it, she would bake bread. She would put the ketzach on the bread so that the bread absorbed the taste of the ketzach. Then she would peel it off. So it had the taste, it didn't have the smell. This somehow worked. So the Gemara says the taste is great. In fact, it's someone that's ruggle beketzach. He eats it often. Ain't a bali day cave leg. At the same time, the smell could be very dangerous. Rabbi Yehuda said, in the Mishnah, we had a machloikis, what bracha you make on your rakos? The Chachamim said, ala yurakos hu oimer, boire pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you make a boire mine desham. We saw Rabbi Yehuda's shita a few times in the parak already. The idea of Rabbi Yehuda is that not all things that grow from the ground get the general bracha of boire pri adama. But rather, you have to be more specific. If it's a vegetable, so it's an herb, Bayre Pri Adama. If it's wheat, for example, it's a Bayre Mine Deshom. If it's wheat, you make a Bayre Mine Zrom. Says the Gemara, Rabbi every time, Rabbi Chinen Bar Papa, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. We knew that. That halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. You eat a vegetable, you don't make a Bayre Mine Deshom, but rather you make a Bayre Pri Adama. Rabbi Zeir Vitema, Rabbi Chinen Bar Papa, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda's halacha? Amakra, so he learned it from the following pasuk. Baruch Hashem, Yoim yoim yamaslanu hakel Yeshua seinu zelas. Rabbi Yehuda was bothered. V'chi b'yoim mevarch enoisai ubelayle eim mevarch enoisai baruch Hashem yoim yoim. But only by day. And what about at night? Hello. So Rabbi Yehuda said like this: Loim lecha kol yoim v'yoim tein lam yeim baruch enoisav. That a person shouldn't just bless Hashem, but he should be aware of the day. And based on what that day is, he should bless us. So if it's Shabbos, he should have in mind Shabbos. If it's Yom Tov, he should have in mind Yom Tov. If it's Sunday, he should have in mind, whatever it is. A person should be mevorech Hashem, me'ein v'yoim. Yoim yoim, the day should factor into the type of bracha that he's giving. So Rabbi Yehuda said, if you take the day into consideration when it comes to making a bracha, baruch Hashem, yoim yoim, you don't just bless Hashem. No, yoim yoim. So hachanami, it makes sense that you should also take the min into consideration. So too, kol min v'min, tein loy me'em berchaisav. So just like there's an idea of baruch Hashem, yoim yoim, so too, Rabbi Yehuda said, there's an idea of baruch Hashem, kol min v'min. Amar Rab Zera, v'itemer Rab Chinen, Rab Papa, boy, reish loy k'minis kodesh baruch, midas basav dam, kli reka machsik. Mole ene machzik. Midas bas of dom. If you have an empty cup, for example, you can pour something in it. You have an empty bowl, you can put something in the bowl. But if you have a full cup, you can't put anything in it. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu enei kein. The keli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is not like that. Mole machzik, reikon enei machzik. It's just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's keli, meaning the mind, specifically as it relates to Torah, as we'll see, if it's mole, if you fill your mind with Torah, it's going to be machzik more Torah. But if your mind is empty from Torah, then, ironically, counterintuitively, it won't have the space to be able to absorb any Torah. How do you know that? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Vayoymerim shemaya tishma lekoyla Hashem alekecha." So we know the pasuk. The end is "Vayosha ben Aftasa vazantel mitzvoyisav shemati kachukov kolamachalo ashu samti b'mitzrayim leyosam alecha ki ani Hashem reifecha." So that's the end of the pasuk. Ki ani Hashem reifecha. What's the beginning of the pasuk? "Vayoymerim shemaya tishma." How did The Gemara Darshan, it im shamaya, if you're going to listen, meaning you're going to know Torah, tishma, you'll have the ability to hear more Torah. But the im lav, if you're not going to be shamaya, loy tishma, then you won't have the ability to know anything. Another pshat, im shamaya b'yashon, similar tishma b'chadosh, if you're going to be shamaya the yashon, Rashi says, you're going to chazer. Sheshonisa v'shilashto masha shamato ishtakeit. So if you're going to know what you learned yesterday, then tishma b'chadosh, you'll be able to understand what you're learning today. If however, this is another pasuk. If yifne levavcha, the pasuk says v'loy sishma, pasuk in Dvarim Perek Lamed, then you're not going to be able to learn. Viter birech al peiros ilon bayri priya adama yotza. So al peiros ilon you make a bayri priya eitz. Al peiros adama you make a bayri priya adama. What happens if you did it in the reverse? So you're eating a fruit and you made a bayri priya adama. So b'diavad it works. Val peiros ilon bayri priya eitz. Let's say you're eating a vegetable and you by mistake made a bayri priya eitz lo yotza. You're not going to be yotza. So if you swapped it by mistake, it depends. An adama on a fruit works, eight on a vegetable doesn't work. Val kulam says the Mishnah, im amah shahakol niya bedvaroi, if you made a shahakol on any one of them, yotze, you're going to be yotze. It says, man tanat ikar ilon, ari, who's the tana that holds that the ikar of an ilon is an ara? So what does that even mean? So Rashi says, who's the tana that holds that the ikar of all peiros is the aretz? Meaning, if the Mishnah says that b'di'evad you can make a bayri priya adama on a fruit, that means that we view the fruit that grows on the tree, which grows from the ground, as being a priya adama, which of course it is. But we view it as if the ikar yanika, the ikar source of nutrition of the fruit, is coming from the ground. And the Gemara is suggesting it has to be that way, because if it's not a primary source of nutrition to the fruit, then there'd be no way that a bayir pri adama would be a good bracha. So from the fact that you can make, albeit b'diavad, a bayir pri adama on a fruit that grows on a tree, must be ikar ilan arahi. It must be ikar kol ha-peiros, again from Rashi, hi ha-aretz. V'akol gadol imenes. So the Gemara says, who's the Tana that holds that way? Amr Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, Rav Yehudi. So a lot of Rav Yehudi in today's daf. Tana, we learn to the Mishnah, yovesh ha-ma'ayon v'niktsas ha-ilon, maybe v'nikar. So the context over there is the halacha of Bikurim. What was Bikurim? Reishis priyad mascha, tovi beis Hashem alokecha. So you had to take your nicest, then your newest fruit, and you had to bring it to Hashem. Now, there were some people that when they brought Bikurim, in addition to the mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, they also would recite a certain portion in the Torah. The portion that they would recite is mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Kisavai. It's what we know as the Parsha of Bikurim. So there were people that were maybe ve'inei kaira, they just brought the Bikurim. And then there were people that were maybe ve'kaira. So we have a machloikis tanoim, if somebody had a fruit that grew on a tree, and then he knocked down the tree. So the tree's not standing anymore. The tree was knocked down between the time that he removed the peri from the tree and the time that he's physically going to the Beis HaMikdash to bring it. The question is he maybe the Kaira, or is he maybe the Enei Kaira? So the Mishnah says, Yovesh ha-ma'ayon v'nichtas ha-ilon, if the ma'ayon, so that's the water that was the source of nutrition to this tree, or the tree itself came down, maybe v'Enei Kaira, he can't be Kaira anymore. And the reason is because one of the lines that one said when he read the parasha of Bikurim is he acknowledged that the fruit came meno adama shenosatali, and that adama is not there anymore because it came from a tree, and that tree has since been chopped down. Rabbi Huda says no, maybe the kaira, you could be kaira. I, what do you mean? How are you going to say meno adama shenosatali? The Teretz says, what's the real adama that is the source of this fruit? It's not the tree, but it's the Adama itself. Oh, being that it's the Adama itself, so it's for that reason you can be maybe Vikaira. Al Peirois Ha'aretz. Pshito, says the Gemara. Isn't it obvious that you shouldn't be able to make a Bayer Priya Eitz on a vegetable? Again, the Mishnah said, Birech Al Peirois Se'ilon Bayer Priya Adama Yatza, which we thought should be obvious. The Gemara felt it wasn't so obvious. It actually only works with Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Masechtas Bikurim. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah is for sure obvious. It said if you make a boire priya eitz on a vegetable, you're not yoitza. So the Gemara says, we know that. Amar Rav Nachum by Yitzchak, loy nitzrucha el Rabbi Yehuda. This is negay Rabbi Yehuda Shita Amar, who said, min ilani. It's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a chita, a stalk of wheat, is actually a tree. And being that it's a tree, so you would have thought that on a chita, B'di'evet, if you make a bar priya eitz, it should be okay. That's the chiddush in the Mishnah, that it's not okay. Who's this Rabbi Yehuda that holds that a strand of wheat is a tree? It's not a tree. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, even she'achal mimenu Adam HaRishon, the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from, the infamous Eitz Hadas. What kind of tree was it? So it wasn't an apple tree. What was it? Says the Gemara, three shittas. Rameya Omer, Rameya says, Geffen Haya. It was actually, it was a vine. It was a grape. She'en lo chadova, she'maybe yulala adam el ayayin. And you know, we know that because there's nothing that caused more harm and more disaster in world history than wine. And if we know how much Klola came about as a result of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, must be the Eitz Hadas was a Geffen, which is where wine comes from, because that's the source of all tzaras in the world. Shenema, how do you know that so many bad things come from wine? So the Gemara just quotes one pasuk, but this is one of many. The pasuk says, "Vayesht min hayayin, vayishkar vayiska b'toychahoy." It's talking about Noach when Noach got drunk, etc. But Nechemia says, "No teinahoy." So it was a fig tree. Shebedava sheneskalkulu by niskunoy. You know, I know that said Rav Nechemia. I know that because what did Adam and Chava do right after they ate from the Eitz Hadas? They realized that they were arumim. Suddenly, there was an idea of erva, and they acknowledged it. So admittedly, they had to cover themselves. So the pasuk says, "Vayisperu aleteino." They took the leaves of a fig tree, and that's how they covered themselves. Why did they use a fig tree? Oh, probably because the avera was done with a fig tree. Bedavash and eskalkulu by niskin. We're going to get back to all of this later. Rabbi Yehuda says, "No chita haisa." It wasn't a geffen. It wasn't a teino. Rather, it was a chita. She'ein hatinoi kyoidea likrois abba ve'ima ad sheyitoim. Tam Dagon, because the child, usually, as he gets older and he starts knowing how to talk, he could say Abba, he could say Ima, it's right around the time that he starts being served grain. Meaning, there seems to be some correlation between when a child develops his Das to when he starts eating carbs, when he starts eating chita. What happened after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas? All of a sudden, they became very smart. Oh, so you see that Das and chitim are somewhat correlated. So Rabbi Yehuda said that must be what it is. Either way, it says the Gemara doesn't have to do with our sugya. So Kadai Techemin, I would have thought, hey, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Chita Min Dinlan. He says, see, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that a Chita is a tree. It was the Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas was a tree. So you would have thought, Levarich Olev, you should make a bracha on it. Boyre Priyo Eitz, at the very least, but the evidence should work. Mashpulan, that's the Chitish. That it doesn't work. And why not? Why taka not? Such a good havamina. Why taka not? The Gemara explains, because hechem avarchin a bar-priya eitz. When does bar-priya eitz work? Hecha dechishak asle leperi isi legabzu hadamavik. That's a tree where if you remove the fruit from the tree, so more fruit will grow from this tree, from this branch. Aval hecha dechishak asle leperi leitzi legabzu. But over here, if you remove the stalk of chitim from the ground, there's going to be nothing left. The hadam mapik loyme varchino over here where nothing is going to grow again, you don't make a bayer pri. Hey, it's elo bayer pri adam. Akulam mavam shahakol. Everything the Mishnah said, if you make a shahakol, is going to work. Now, what's the Mishnah talking about? So, Pasha, the Mishnah talking about fruit. We're talking about peiros elon. We're talking about peiros aretz. Something that's supposed to be eitz, something supposed to be adama. So, eitz doesn't work for adama. Adama does work for eitz. Shahakol works for adama and for eitz. That's what the Mishnah said. Itmar says the machlokes amayrom regarding the salach. Rav Huna said chutz min apas u min ayayin. Meaning, when the Mishnah says val kulon, it's not going back on everything that we've discussed already in Perek Eitz Mevarchin. It's not going back on everything mentioned in the very first Mishnah of the Perek. First Mishnah mentioned Yayin, Bayur Priya Gofen. Lechem Yimei Kamoitzi Lechem in Aris. So Rav Huna said it's true that Shahakol works for all types of Peres, but it doesn't work for everything. Meaning it doesn't work for pas. So if you sit down and instead of making hamaytzi lachem bershus, and instead of saying hamaytzi lachem in ours, you say shahakol mi'a bedvarek, in Rav Huna's world, you'd have to do it again. Rabbi Yochanan says not that way. Rabbi Yochanan says, and this is the halacha, afilu pas v'yayin, no, it works even for pas v'yayin. First glance, it would seem that maybe this machlekes Rav Huna, Rabbi Yochanan is really machlekes tanon. Ra pas, if somebody saw bread, v'omer, and he said, kama na pasu. Wow, this is such a nice bagel. Baruch HaMokim Shebaruch. And he, mamash, he blesses Hashem. Baruch HaMokim Shebaruch. Yotza. That's a bracha. Ra te'ena. If somebody saw te'ena, a fig, va'omer, he said, kama na te'ena zu. Baruch HaMokim Shebaruch. Yotza. The Rameh says, it's okay. Rabbi Yosi says, kol ha'meshana mi matbeya shetavu chachomim bebrachos lo yotza yidei chavos. Rabbi Yosi takes a very hard stance. He says, no, you can't just go ahead and make up your own nusach for a bracha. Bracha has to be, you see a te'ena? Baruch HaTosh.
Elokeinu Melech Olam Boirei Priyetz. You see, pass Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamaytzi Lachem in Ars. So notice we have a machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yosi. If somebody sees bread, let's focus on the bread, and he says Kamenah Pazu Baruch Hamokim Shabar. According to Ramei, you Yoytza. According to Rabbi Yosi, you're not Yoytza. So the Gemara says, "Name Rav Huna Damak Rabbi Yosi." Rav Huna that said that you can't make a shahakol on bread. He holds like Rabbi Yosi that you can't say Baruch Hamokim Shabar Zu. And whereas Rav Yochanan, who said that you could make a shahakol b'di'evan on bread, is Domek Rav Meir, who says that if a person sees pas and he says kamano pasu baruch hamakom shabara yatzah, amalach. But the Gemara is doiched very obviously. Amalach Rav Huna, no, I know that Rav Huna. Rav Huna will tell you that I hold even like Rav Meir. I'd kind of come Rav Meir hasam. Why did Rav Meir have a problem there? Elahecha the kamat kishmei the pas avol, meaning Rav Meir, who said that it's okay to come up with your own nusach of a hamotzi lechem in aretz, he said it's fine because even though you made up your own nusach at the end of the day, you mentioned bread. Aval hecha delei kamat kishmei depas. But if you don't mention bread, you merely say shakol niyeh b'dvarah. For the Rav Meir moided that it's not okay. Rabbi Yochanan amalach Rabbi Yochanan say I know that I'm for the Rabbi Yosi. I could be hold even like Rabbi Yosi. I mean, Rabbi Yosi said that it's not okay to make up your own nusach for bread. Doesn't mean shakol doesn't work because ad kala kamar Rabbi Yosi asam elam shem to kamar bracha like the kinnur rabbanan. You made up your own bracha. You can't do that. What was Rabbi Yosi's problem? You have to stick to the script. You can't make up your own text. This has its source. This comes from the Rabbana. Meaning the two machloikas really have nothing to do with each other. One is a machloikas if the Eved Shaka works for bread and wine. And the other is a different shiloh. Could you make up your own nusach when you capture the spirit of the bracha? You get it right, but it's just your own text. One is a machloikis remain Rabbi Yosi, the other is a machloikis between Rabbi Huna and the Chum. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Yochanan. On that note, Binyamin Raya, Binyamin the shepherd, Karach Rifta, he once broke bread. Va'omer, and he said, Baruch Morei Dahai Pita. He thanked Hashem, the master of his pita. Omer Rav, so Rav said, Yotza, beautiful bracha, he's Yotza. Freit the Gemara, how could that be true? How could Rav have said that? Va'omer Rav said something else. If somebody makes a bracha and he forgets to say Hashem's name, Baruch Atah, and he skips out Hashem's name, it's not a bracha. So Binyamin Raya, he said Brich Morei Dahai Pita. He never mentioned Hashem's name. So the Gemara says, okay, you have to edit it a little bit. The Amar Brich Rachmana Morei Dahai Pita. Just inject the word Rachmana. Rachmana is a kinoi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what he said. He said Hashem's name. But the Gemara says, V'abi'inan shalosh brachos. Don't you have to make shalosh brachos? Meaning, it sounds like Binyamin Raya was Karach Rifta first. And then afterwards, he said, I mean, this is, talk about an abridged version of benching. Baruch Rachmana Morei Dahai Pita. And you're done. So the Gemara says, no, what does it mean when we said Yotza Yidei Bracha Rishayna? Rab only meant that the first bracha counts, but obviously you need three brachas. So he would have to come up with another two brachas, also with a nusach. But the point is, it counts as a bracha. So the Gemara says, my kamash falon. What's the chiddush? L'chura, you think the chiddush is Afagaf Tomer B'Lashon Chayil. Even though he said it in his own language, he said it in Aramaic. But the Gemara says, Tanina, we know that. It's a mishnah v'sechta soy today. The following things can be recited in any language. Parsha Soita, Vidui Meiser, Kriyishma, Tfila, Birchas Hamazon. The point is, Birchas Hamazon, you see, you can bench in any language. So what's the Chiddush? Mar says, it's something like, I would have thought, Hanabi Ludam of Lashon Chayil. I would think that's true if somebody benches B'Lashon Chayil. So you open up an art scroll Siddur, and instead of reading it from the Hebrew side, you read it from the English side. That's the Mishnah Mesachta Soita. Ki Hechit Takinu Rabbana B'Lashon Chayidish, so too it works B'Lashon Chayil. Avaloi Amra B'Lashon Chayil, Ki Hechit Takinu Rabbana B'Lashon Chayidish. But let's say you said a B'Lashon Chayil and you made up your own nusach. You came up with your own little brich Rachmana Morei Dahai Pita. What is that? That's number one, your own text. And number two, it's not even in the right language. Say, Emolah, you would have thought, that's not okay. Kamash one, that even that's okay. Gufa, Omer Rav. Kol brach, Shema, Askar, Hashem, Ener brach. So the Gemara mentioned parenthetically something that Rav said. And that is, anytime a person makes a bracha and he doesn't mention Hashem's name, it's a problem. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol bracha she'im ba malchus ein bracha." Rabbi Yochanan said that you have to mention Hashem's name when you make a bracha, but you also have to acknowledge that Hashem is Melech Olam. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Binyamin the shepherd's bracha wouldn't have been good because Binyamin the shepherd's bracha was Brich Rachmana Morei Dahai Pita. He never mentioned, unless Mori is, but he never mentioned that he's Melech Olam. So you have to acknowledge the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Olam. Amr Abaya said, Kavose de Rav Mestaber. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Lo Yavarti, Mi Mitzvah Yisecha, Ve Lo Yishachachti. So this is a pasuk in the beginning of Parashas Kisavai that we referenced earlier, the Parashah Mikri Bikurim, and the pasuk over there says, V'amartu lefnei Hashem Elokecha, B'yarti HaKadosh Ben Abayis, V'gam Nasatav Lelevi, so this is a person who's declaring, he's acknowledging that he was mafresh all the chumas of maestras that he's supposed to do. And at the very end he says, I didn't violate anything that I was supposed to. I mean, I did everything, I followed everything to the T, the way that I was supposed to. So what does it mean? So it's, says the Gemara, the Tanya, we learned to the Braisa, some have the Girsa, the Tanan. And there's actually a lot of drama, whether it's the Tanya or whether it's the Tan, and it ties into a lot of raid, but not for this morning. So the Tanya, or the Tanan, lo yovarti mi mitzvah lo shachachti, lo yovarti mi levarechecha. When I was mafresh my chumas from maestris, I made a bracha. V'lo shachachti mi lahaskir shamecha. And when I made that bracha, I mentioned your name. Now, v'ilu malchus lo ketani. Doesn't say anything about malchus. So Abaye said, kavosi derab mestabra. Because you see that this braiso, this mishnah, when it says, lo yavarti mi mitzvah yisecha, v'lo shachachti, lo yavarti, meaning I made a bracha when I was mafresh chumas from maestris, and I made sure v'lo shachachti to mention it. Rabbi Yochanan, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do? He'll add it. He'll tweak the braiso a little bit. Now, what's this bracha that we're referring to? I didn't forget to make a bracha when I was mafreshu. We're not exiling yet. But what's this bracha that we didn't? That the person is saying he didn't forget to make. So Rashi says the last Rashi before the Mishnah. Baruch Hashem kedishanu b'mitzvoyse v'tzivanu lahafresh trumo meiser. So the bracha is the birchas hamitzvahs that you're supposed to make before you mafresh trumas or meisers. What does it sound like from this braisa? Or maybe it's a Mishnah. That hafroshas trumas u'maisres, which is a mitzvah, requires a bracha midai raisa. Lo yavarti mi mitzvah yisecha v'lo yishachachti. We're teaching the pasuk. Is birchas hamitzvahs a midai raisa? So the truth is, it's a mafurish gemara. It's a gemara, we learned this earlier, we spoke on a lot of raid on this. A raid bite from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Har Tzvi, to answer the Pnei Shuas Kasha, the Shagasarius Kasha. Birchas HaMitzvahs is a Durabonon. It's a Mefurash HaGemara, Masech Tis Brachas, Daf Tez Vav HaManav. We mentioned the Shitas of Yerushalmi then. The Yerushalmi is, ironically, in Perakeitza Mevarchim. It's not on this sugyo, but it's in the beginning of Perakeitza Mevarchim. And the Yerushalmi over there says, Uminayin Shekola Mitzvahs Tu'unois Bracha. How do you know that every mitzvah requires a bracha? Rab Tanchuma, Rab Abba Bar Kahana, B'Shem Rab Elazar. It says, Ve'en Elochas, Luchas Ha'evan Va'atoyer Va'mitzvahs, Hikish Toyer Le'mitzvahs. Ma Toyer Tu'una Bracha, Af Mitzvahs Tu'una Bracha. Now, Torah is Tuna Bracha. That's Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is a Deiraisa. So if we're comparing Birchas HaMitzvahs to Birchas HaTorah, it would seem then that the obligation to recite a bracha before you do a mitzvah is not a mitzvah, is not a durabonon, but it's actually a da'iraisa. And the achrenim work with this Yerushalmi. At first glance, it would seem to be a gemara. I mean, he have a gemara, lo yavarti mi mitzvah yisecha v'lo yishachachti. Either way, that's just some of the raid that we're not going to talk about this morning. Zok t'mishnevayt v'aldovash en gidulim in ha'aretz, oimer, shahakul yibedvarev. Somebody eats something that doesn't grow in the ground. You don't make a eitz, you don't make a hadam, you don't make a gofen, you don't make a moitzi, you don't make a mzoinis. So what do you do? Shahakul yibedvarev. For example, vinegar, al noivlois, these are certain dates. Grasshoppers, people used to eat grasshoppers, some people still do. Oimer shahakol niyabedvar. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol shu min klala. If you eat something, and this is a quote-unquote min klala eim evarchanov, you don't make a bracha. What if somebody has a lot of fruits in front of him? What bracha do you make? Rabbi Yehuda says, im yesh b'nei min shiva olav. If one of the things that are in front of you is from the shivas haminim evarich, you make a bracha on olav umevarich. You make a bracha on that. The chomim say evarich aleiz min shiirtza. You can always make a bracha on anything that you want. One last gemara. Tanu rabban aldavash ein gedulim in haaretz. If somebody eats something that doesn't grow on the ground, could go in baser behemois chayos va'oifos v'dogin. So whether it's meat or it's chicken or it's fish, oimir shahakol niyabedvare. Ala cholav ala beitzim, Va'alakvina, milk, eggs, and cheese. Ala pasha ifsha. What about spoiled bread? Va'alayayin shehikrim, or spoiled wine. Va'alatavshel shavatsurasa, or any other tavshel that went bad. Oy meshachal, you make a shahakal. Ala melech, va'alazomis, salt and brine. Va'alkamemu pitrius, truffles and mushrooms. Oy mer shahakal. Says the Gemara, the name of the kamemu pitrius, lavgudule karkininu. You make a shahakal on truffles and mushrooms. You don't make a bayir pri adama, suggesting that it's not gudule karka. Va'tanya. We're going to the Brisa. I know even Peiros Aretz. If someone makes a net, he's not going to have enough from any Peiros Aretz. Also, be Peiros Aretz. You can't have enough from Peiros Aretz. Umutter be Kmei Bepitrius, because it's not considered Peiros Aretz. From Omer, if he said Kol Gedule Karkolai, but if he says that I'm not going to benefit from anything that grows from the ground, Aser Ape Kmei Bepitrius. What's the difference? Kmei Bepitrius don't grow directly in the ground, but it obviously receives its nutrition from what comes from the ground. So if that's the case, if you know the Peiros Haaretz, it's not a Peiros Haaretz. So you're mutter b'kamei b'pitrius. But if you have in mind Gidule Karka, that's what your nether was, Aser af b'kamei b'pitrius. So what's the kasha? Anything that's Gidule Karka should be a Bayer Pri Adama. So why don't you make a Bayer Pri Adama on Kamei b'pitrius? Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Mir baravu meyara, meyra klayonka meyara. This distinction that we just said, that being that it doesn't come directly from the ground, even though it receives its nutrition from the ground, it grows from the ground, that's enough that you shouldn't make a Bayer Pri Adama. But the Gemara says, that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, V'aldova she'en gidulim in ha'aretz k'tani. It sounds like anything that doesn't grow at all, doesn't receive nutrition from the ground, it's only that you don't make a Bayer Pri Adama. K'mei b'pitrius, you just said, is gidulei aretz. Tani, change the Lashon in the Mishnah, not kol she'dova she'en gidulim min ha'aretz, but rather, aldova she'en yoinek min ha'aretz. Exhale. So, a few ha'aris related to today's daf. Some light ha'aris. So some of the previous daf have been a little bit intense, the raid anyways. So we'll speak out some light raid related to today's daf. Number one, the beginning of the daf, the Gemara said that if a person says ha'moitzi lechem in ha'aretz, and before he makes his bracha, or before he eats, he realizes that he doesn't have salt. So the Gemara said, ha'machlekes ha'meiroim, whether it's okay to be mafzik and say, melach, salt, Havei melach, havei melach. The Lashon of the Gemara was, the person could even say it twice. The point is that you're allowed to be mafsik. What's the reason? Because it's considered letzorech suda. Stating that, the Gemara told the story where Rav Bar Shmuel, who's the one that taught us this halacha, was once breaking bread in the house of the Reish Galusa, and he made his bracha. He ate his bread, and there was no salt. And the Gemara says that they asked Rav Bar Shmuel, aren't you the one that said that you're supposed to have salt? And that you can even be mafsik for salt? And that it's also to make a bracha l'katchil if you don't have salt in front of you? So they told him, Hodamar mishmaite amalusa. He told him, Leis din sarach b'shach. Now this bread doesn't need any salt. In other words, the reason Rav Bar Shmuel explained you're supposed to have salt when you eat bread is because you're making a bracha, and you make a bracha on food, you should try to get the food to taste as good as you can make it taste. So obviously, bread with salt tastes better than bread without salt, or with some other dip, it's going to taste a little bit better. So the idea of having melach or lifton is simply for it to taste better, for it to be more chashuv. The bread that I'm eating now, he said by the Reish Galusa, doesn't require anything, and it tastes perfectly the way it is, and it's for that reason you don't need any salt. It sounds like that even though there is an idea to have melach together with your bread, but it's only if the challah needs it, if the bread needs it. But if you don't need it, or it's not good for you, then certainly there'd be no idea to have any salt. Stating that, Tosfos over here says that although the Gemara would seem to suggest that you only have salt if practically it's something that's necessary, va'anu ein anu regilin lehevi ala shulchan loy melech v'loy lifton. Also, Tosfos says that based on what the Gemara says, there are many people that have the minhag that they don't have any salt. The pashalanu chashav, because our bread today, says Tosfos, in the Middle Ages was the equivalent of the Reish Galusa's bread back in the day. But then Tosfos says meal. Reb Menachem hoye medaktik ma'od lahavi melech ala shulchan. He says Reb Menachem, one of the Bali Tosfos, he was very, very careful. He always wanted to have salt on his table. And he based it on a medrash. The medrash says, "Kishi Yisroel yoishven al ha'shulchan u'mamtin in zeh." When Yidden are sitting together around the table and they're waiting for each other, actually, Yidlu Yidden. So you have a big suda, the oilam wash, now you're sitting, nunu, you can't talk, right? So you're waiting for everybody to finish washing like this, they're going to sit down and you can get the suda going. So when they're waiting and they're below mitzvahs and they have no mitzvahs, ha'sotin mekatrig aleh. The sotin is mekatrig. Ubris melach. If there's salt on the table, so the bris of the melach
is somehow protects them. So Reb Menachem was medaktik. He said that even though our breads is really like the Reish Kalusa's breads of once upon a time, still you have the Bris HaMelech. It sounds a little like the Gemara Masechtas Menachos, where David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, and he was in the Beis HaMerchitz, and he saw that he was Orem in HaMitzvahs, Kivin Shenestakul B'Mila. He saw the Bris Mila. Here the Yidden, we're Orem in HaMitzvahs, so to speak. We're Mamtin and Zeh, the Heimbeloi Mitzvahs, the Sokhets Mekatrik, and what protects the Bris, not Bris Mila, but what protects over here is the Bris of the Melech. This is all brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Eir HaChaim, and this is in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Sivkot and Hey. The Mechaber says as follows, Lo Yiftza Achi Yaviu Lefon HaMelech HaLif. A person like Atchila should not break bread unless he has salt or some other dip. Let's say the bread is clean bread, or it was spiced already when it was made, like our breads, or you prefer to eat bland bread, you don't want any salt, you don't need any salt. Says the Ramah, that even though the Mechaber says you don't have to, but there is a mitzvah too. Why? Because the shulchan is and the food that you eat at your table is like a carbon. V'nemar, and it says regarding the karbonos, I'll call karboncha takriv melech. So being that it says I'll call karboncha takriv melech, so you're sitting by the mizbeach, you're eating kachim, I'll call karboncha takriv melech, so there's an idea to have salt. Then the Ramah says, and I'll tell you another reason, for who make them an aperonios, it also protects from aperonios, ayin toisviz v'agoyis ashri perakets v'varcha. So the Ramah brings Reb Menachem, that Tosfos quoted in today's daf, and he adds another reason, meaning two reasons why not necessarily to follow the Ikar Adin, and even if you have really good bread, you should have salt. Number one, where Reb Menachem said, well, that's number two in the Ramah. The second reason is because it's Megim and Aperonius during that time where everybody's just new-newing, they don't have any mitzvahs. Additionally, Shulchan's Doimelim is Beach, and being that Shulchan's Doimelim is Beach, there's an idea about Kol Karboncha Takriv Melach, so you're eating kachim, there's an idea you should have salt. I recently got a hold of a sefer that mentions, it's a fat sefer, all the minhagim of the Chassam Sofer. So I was looking through it, so in the minhagim of the Chassam Sofer, on Friday night, it says like this, as prusas ha-moitzi le'tov ha-balel Shabbos b'melach. The Chassam Sofer's minig was that Friday night, he would bring out his chal. By the way, how many chalas did the Chassam Sofer have by his suda? This is yesterday's daf. Batza alechem mishnah v'loy al yud beis chalas. So the one the Chassam Sofer didn't have tzvel of chalas. He had two chalas. So he'd bring out his lechem mishnah, and not just that, this is like a kula yisera. Not only the Chassam Sofer didn't have yud beis chalas, but he didn't even dip it in salt. Imagine, you have the Chassam Sofer's tish. Two chalas, there's no salt. So he didn't have any salt. So they bring on the bottom that what's the reason for it? So the Talmidim and the Enikal of the Chassam Sofer said that the Chassam Sofer used to say as follows. He said, because it's brought down two reasons why you have salt when you eat bread. The Ramah brings two reasons. The first reason the Ramah says is because Shulchan's Lemel of Mizbeach, Al Kol Karboncha Takriv Melech. Where was the Melech on the carbon? When they were Makter, the Emurim, on the Haktorah. I mean, it wasn't in the dam. They didn't take the blood that they did the Zrika with, mix it with a little bit of salt, and then do the Zrika. I'll call Korban Chatak Rimelech, I'm talking about the Akhtara. So he said, Friday night, the Gemara says, they were Makter Emur. You couldn't be Makter the Emurim of Shabbos. If you started to be Makter at Mibay Yoim, then it was okay. But Likatchila to be Makter on Friday night, that was an issue. So said the Chassam Sofer, being that there was a limited Haktara, there was no Haktara Chadosh on Friday night, so there was no Melech Friday night. There was no Melech Friday night. You don't have Al Kol Korban Chatak Rimelech. What about the second reason? It's Megim and Aperonius. So the Chassam Sofer said that during the week, Ayidav Ob in Shmira. But Shabbos, you don't need Shmira because Shabbos is the Gres to Shmira. So Fakert, he felt that it takes away a little bit from the Shmira of Shabbos. He says, we need salt, that we should have Shmira sitting around the Shabbos table. You need Shmira? This is what they bring from Dan Hoggis of the Chassam Sofer. We just mentioned that Shulchan Doimelim is Beach, I'll call Karbon Chatak Melech, and this is one of the two reasons that the Ramah brings why you should always have salt. Even if you have wonderful bread, you should still have salt. What's the reason that Shulchan is Doimelim is Beach? What's the reason? So Pashit, it's like above our pay grade, right? Shulchan, Mizbeach, Echleis, you eat the food, right? So somehow your main course Friday night becomes Achilas Kachim, you need salt, because I'll call Karbon Chatak Rimelech, Rabbeinu Bechayim, Parshas Shruma says, the Pasuk says, Vasiso Shulchan, Atzei Shitin. Vasiso Shulchan, Atzei Shitin. This is referring to the Shulchan, with the Hei HaYadir, the Shulchan that was in the Mishkan, the Shulchan that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Vasiso Shulchan, Atzei Shitin, says the Rabbeinu Bechayim, the word Shitin is an acronym. Shalot, by the way, mentioning Rabbeinu Bechayim and the Minhagim of the Chassam Sofer, so another thing I saw here was, is that the Chassam Sofer, being Tafshol to Tafshol, between dishes at his Shabbos Suda, he used to say over Torah from Rabbeinu Bechaya. So this segues a little bit. But either way, Vasisa, that's what we're doing now, Bein Tafshel L'Tafshel, you'll see. Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shittim, says Rabbeinu Bechaya that Shittim is an acronym. It stands for Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, and Mechila. I mean, this is a bracha, if there ever was one. So the Shulchan is a source of Shalom, it's Toiva, it's Yeshua, and it's Mechila. He said, what's the Pshat? Pshat is because Chazal say that Shulchan is Doimel Mizbech. Once upon a time, the Mizbech was Mechaper. Now we don't have the Mizbech to be Mechaper anymore. So because we don't have the Mizbech to be Mechaper anymore, so what's Mechaper today? The Shulchan's Mechaper. So what's the reason? Ki besibas ha-Shulchan, ki hu Mizbech kapar la-Adam. Va'lechem shal ha-Shulchan hu choshev ki korben al-gabi Mizbech. Why? Here's the punchline. Kisha Adam Toiv Ayin, but a person has an Ayin Toiv, Meitiv U Meichel Shamaniyim, and he invites people to his table, and he's Meitiv and he's Meichel, in the schus of the chesed that a person does on his Shulchan, that's where he's Zoicha, to Shalom, Toivo, Yeshua, Mechila. It's not Shulchan Doimel and Mizbeach, Mechatesi. It's what a person could do with his Shulchan, that's Doimel and Mizbeach. If a person on his table does mitzvahs, he does chesed, he's Mechazak other people, that's what it means Shulchan Doimel and Mizbeach. He says, Uminik Chasidim Shabet Sarfas. He said, I heard there was a minig by Chasidim in France, Sha'oisa Mishulchan and Arain Lekfura, that they would make their coffin from their Shulchan. Lohoyrois, Ki Adam, Lohisa, Mu'uma Biyadi, to show that when a person dies, he takes nothing with him. With all his hard work, years and years and years of hard work, whatever, it's fine in the moment, but he's not taking it with him. What does he take? Him? It's only the tzedakah that he did. And it's the toiva that he did on his shulchan. L'kach amru razal. Gemara coming up. Brachos l'ndal. Hamayrich al shulchanai. Marichal l'yamu v'shnoisav. Either way, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, what does it mean shulchan daimel mizbeach? It's somehow a mizbeach. You're a kohen. I'll call korban chatak v'melach. Shulchan has the potential to be a mizbeach. A person could do things with his shulchan. He could be mativ to other people. And through that, it'll be not just a shulchan that's daimel mizbeach. It'll be a shulchan that's atzei shittim. What does shittim mean? Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, Mechila. That's the first art. The second art is that the Gemara mentioned a three-way machlokes, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Nechemya. What exactly the Eitz Hadas was? Reb Meir says that the Ilan She'ochal Mimenu Adam HaRishon was a Gefen. Reb Nechemya said it was a Te'ena. Reb Yehuda said it was a Chita. So a few are Aris. Reb Nechemya said it was a Te'ena. Reb Nechemya said Te'ena Hoysa. How do I know it was a Te'ena? She'bedova She'neskalkalu Boy Niskano. It makes sense because what happened right after Adam Mechaba ate from the Eitz Hadas, they realized that they were Arum. So they had to cover themselves. Had they covered themselves with the leaf of a fig tree? Or if they covered themselves with a leaf of a fig tree, probably bedavash and eskalkulu by niskanu. So I'll tell you a nice maramah. That is a Gemara in the Sechtes Erevin, Daf Yud Ches on the days. The Gemara says as follows. Hoy Remei Reim. Remei used to say, Adam Arishon chosid gadol haya. Adam Arishon was a groysa chosid. Kivan Sherosh Niknasam Yisal Yadai. When he realized after he ate from the Eitz Hadas that it was Niknasam Yisal Yadai, that he was destined to die, Yoshav Betainis Meyo Shloshim Shana. He fasted for 130 years. Upirech Mino Isha Meyo Shloshim Shana. And he was perished from his wife for 130 years. The hell is Zorze Te'enim Al Psore Meyo Shloshim Shana. And he took branches, prickly branches of fig trees, and he put them on his skin for 130 years. Adam Arishon was a chassid gadol. After he did his terrible, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, so he had to do tshuva. So what did he do? He fasted for 130 years. He was punished from his wife for 130 years, and he took zorzei te'enim, he put it al basari for 130 years. The Ben Yoyado and the Teres Chaim, this Gemara says, what was this tshuva samishkol here? What was the tshuva of Adam Arishon? He said, Adam Arishon's aveira was he ate. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. So how did he make up for that? Yosha Betainis. He fasted for 130 years. Who caused Adam Arishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas? His wife. So he was punished from his wife for 130 years. And how did he do the Aver? What kind of tree was it? It was a fig tree, like Rav Nechemya says in Mesechtes Brachas. So what did he do? He took Zorzei Te'enim, the Helen al-Basari. Says the Teres Chaim, that's the Tifkait in the Gemara, in Mesechtes Brachas, the Gemara that we just learned. Bedovash in Eskalkulu by Niskanu. Pasha, you learn this means he didn't fix the problem, but moving forward, there was an issue. He realized that he's Arum.
There's something called erva now. You had to cover his erva. So how do you cover his erva with a teino? Why? B'dover shen eskalkulu by niskenu. Says the Teres Chaim al pidis gemar and erevin. It's much deeper than that. You know what he was doing? Those ale teino was also part of the tshuva that he was doing. It was his sigufin. That's what's going on over here. And if it's his sigufin, it was b'dover shen by niskalkulu by niskenu. This was the tikkun on the avera. This was all part of it. The Svarim HaKadoshim say, it's brought down in the Ramami Pano, that even though the Gemara says that Adam Rishon only did this for 130 years, it's the three together that he did for 130 years. Meaning, fasting, being purged from his wife, and having these fig branches on his body, together, that he did for 130 years. But really, Adam Rishon fasted for more than 130 years. The Svarim say, Adam Rishon fasted for 930 years. Meaning, he fasted his entire life. The remez ledover is, the word kindness is bigamatria 930. So Adam Rishon fasted 930 years. Kindness, the Ramami Pano, is bigamatria 930. It's just this entire tshuva, the fasting, being purged from his wife, and the zarzei te'enim, everything together, that's what was for 130 years. That's the second aura. The third aura is Rameir. Rameir said, by the way, that Gemara is Rameir. So you have to work that out. But Rameir said that it wasn't a achita, it wasn't a te'ena. What was it? It was a gefen. There's a well-known halacha that comes from Rameir's statement, and that is the Magen Avraham brings in Hilchas Shabbos. It's in Simin Reish Tzadik Vav. Nagu anoshim, Shaloi lishleitz mikoyz havdala. It says the minig is that women don't drink from the koyz shal havdala. Va'ayin atam bashlo. Magen Avraham doesn't say what the reason is, but he says if you want to know the reason, take a look at the shla kodesh. So if you take a look at the shla says the reason is because what was the eitz hadas? It was a gefen. It was a glass of wine, or it was a grape from where wine comes. And being that it was a gefen, and who is the cause of the Eitz Hadas? It all started with Chava. Chava was the one who got Adam and Rishon to do it. And what was the purpose? The purpose was that Adam and Chava would be different. If we'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, right, Hashem knows that if we eat from the Eitz Hadas, we're going to get really smart. So the idea was to be mavdil themselves from the rest of humanity, from the rest of the world, from the rest of Hashem's creations. So it's for that reason that when it comes to Havdalah, which is all about being Mavdol ben Kodesh L'chol, ben Yom HaShvi, L'Sheish HaZimei HaMasa, that's what Havdalah is all about. So she doesn't drink from the Gefen, the wine. This is all a remnant. Either way, it's brought down to the Magen Avraham. Comes from a Shlag Kodesh, but it's brought down from the Magen Avraham. But Mi'inyan Le'inyan, Ba'oise Inyan, just something very interesting. And that is, so we're talking about wine. Rameir said that it had to be a gefen. It had to be a gefen, because everything bad comes from a gefen. So it makes sense that the original klal of Adam and the original klal of Chav and the Nachash, it must have all started with a glass of wine. There's an interesting dazikain in Bali Toysus and Parsha Shmini. It's on a pasuk that we used to talk a lot about. Ato uvanecha itach. It's in Parsha Shmini, right after Nodav Avil. The first parsha is Yayin v'sheicher al teish ato uvanecha itach. Says the Das Kain of Bali Toisves. Yayin v'sheicher al teish. Why? Why can't you drink wine? L'fisha al yedei shtiyos yoyse midai. Because when a person drinks too much wine, he consumes too much alcohol. Bushes v'cherpes boisolof. Self-explanatory. It comes to bushes v'cherpes. And then the Das Kain of Bali Toisves quotes pasuk after pasuk after pasuk. Most of them are Mishle, that bring out this idea that when a person drinks a lot of wine, it comes with a pushes for herpes. I'm skipping to the bottom. Says the Das Kainim, Shal Yidei Yayin. I'll give you an example. Sheshosa Adam Rishon Brichas Asuin. Because it was a result of the wine, a glass of wine, that Adam Rishon drank by his own chasana, that Nishtaker, he got drunk, V'Over Al Tzivuyev Shal Makoy. And he eventually ate from the Eitz Hadas. You want to know the rest of the story? The Nachash and Chava and Adam. Adam Rishon was shikar. And that's how he came to drink, eat from the Eitz Hadas. What? When did he get drunk? He had just gotten married. Right? This is all the first day of creation. He had just gotten married. He had a glass of wine. He was nishtaker. And because he was nishtaker, he was over al tzivuyev shalmakon. Ula besoif niskalo ben shichas nachash. And what happened after that? All the tzores came from that. Says the Das Kainim something very interesting. Ula fisha niknesom misalo adam ishvaloy sayayin. Being that what caused death in the world? A glass of wine. It's for that reason. Nagu oilam. The minig oilam is kisham mevarich betzibur oimer savri maronon. So when you drink a glass of wine, what do you do? Savri maronon v'hein oinim. The oilam says l'chayim. Why do you say l'chaim? We say l'chaim because you're drinking a glass of wine, which was the original source of misa in the world. So you want to know where the minig to say l'chaim comes from when you drink wine or some other alcoholic beverage. So it comes from Adam HaRishon. This is where it comes from. Adam HaRishon drank wine. Because of that, misa came to the world. So till today, anytime a Jew drinks a glass of wine, he makes sure to know, this is not l'misa. This drink of wine is going to be l'chaim. As I stated about Das Kenim, if you want to go through it, I mean, you want to see the case against wine. This Das Kenim Bali Toysus is Exhibit A. It's in Parashat Shmini. It's on the Pasuk, Yayim V'Shecher Al Tesh. But on the topic of l'chaim, just to go me'inyan le'inyan, again, being tafshul le'tafshul. So on the topic of l'chaim. So the Das Kenim says, that what's the makar to l'chaim? Because it all started, misa all began with a glass of wine. But there's another makar, a more conventional makar. And this is actually brought down in the Bach. The Bach brings this in Shulchan Aruch. And this is a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Pikudeh. The Medrash Tanchuma over there is discussing somebody is on death row. And they have to determine, he's chayiv misa, he's not chayiv misa. So Dine Nefashis, you need 23 Dayanim, Sanhedri Ketana, a Bezen Shulchav Gimel. They had to come out and they had to figure out what the story is. Okay, so they did their deliberations and they convened and now it's time to cast the vote. Is this person going to be guilty or is he going to be innocent? That's where we're up to. Ketzad Choykrim Esoedim. How did they finally make this work? Says the Medrash Tanchuma, Isha Chaykrim Eidin Allah, Verish Adam Oysa, Yoitzin Asad Hedrim Vachol Yisrael Imam Nurachayvoir, Umaitzin Lisham La Ishu Machuyev Skila, I Echo Meabam Mises Bezin, Vyoitzin Shnai Mehem, O Gimel Hagdoil Mehem, Vidarshan La Eidin. Okay, Ukshashavim, Milachka, this is what we're up to, Oimra Lahem. So now they're finished. We did all the Badikas and the Chakiras, all the deliberations. So now all the Dayanim line up. So the Roish, whoever's in charge, the Mamuno, so he would go and he would turn to the Dayanim. He would say, Savri Maronon, Savri Maronon, what do you think? They would say, if they thought the person should live, they would say, l'chayim. If they thought the person should die, they would say, l'misa. If he's not, v'chulu, v'chulu. So what happened? How did they cast the vote? They would say, Savri Maron, who's the Maronon? It's not the few chevre at your Kiddush club. The Savri Maronon that you're talking to, these are the Sanhedrin. These are people that know everything. These are the Maronon. Savri Maronon, v'rabonon, v'rabonon. These are chosh people. We're talking to the members of the Sanhedrin. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'misa, l'misa. Says the Tanchuma, v'chein shliach tzibur. Till today, the shliach tzibur. K'sheyesh b'yodai koishal kiddish, oishal avdala, v'u oimer sabri maronon, oimer makol l'chaim, k'loimer ki l'chaim yehe akos. Why? Why? So here's the punchline. The punchline is because when they would give this person misas bezdin, you know what happened? They would give him something to drink. They were giving something to drink. This was the equivalent of anesthesia. So he shouldn't have to feel what was going on. So they would give him wine. They would mix some Levina inside the wine. Don't try this at home. But they would mix some Levina inside the wine. It's like this. He wouldn't feel what was going on. That's what they would do. So they would say, Savri Maronon, L'chaim or L'misa. And if it was L'misa, they'd give him a glass of wine. So you have Misa with a glass of wine and a piece of Levina. So here today, till today, you pick up a glass of wine, you say Savri Maronon. What do we say? No, this is not L'misa. There's no one on death row. No one's getting skila. This is Savri Maronon. This is supposed to be l'chayim. This is either way. So we have two makayres to the minig of l'chayim, right? That's certainly a good takeaway from today's stuff. We have two makayres. One makar is the Das Kenim Bali Toysus of Parsha Shmini, that death happened as a result of Adam HaRishon eating from the Eitz Hadas. What caused Adam HaRishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas? It was a glass of wine. Certainly, if you hold that it was a geffen, the whole Eitz Hadas was geffen. But it all started with a glass of wine. David, Adam HaRishon's glass of wine that he ate or drank at his wedding. So being that Misa came through wine till today, you drink wine, you say l'chaim. Or it's because when they used to give somebody Misa's bezdin, they would give him a glass of wine so he shouldn't feel it. And the nusach was, they would say, Savri Maron and l'chaim l'misa. And that's why till today, when it comes time to, when you drink a glass of wine, so you see Savri Maronon, and you say Savri Maronon, and you say l'chaim. You know, it's interesting, the minigin Chabad, the minigin Lubavitch is that you say, not l'chaim, but l'chaim u'levracha. So I spoke to Reb Mordechai Hecht last night, and he said, this is the Minhag in Chabad, and he said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe by the Fabrengans, he used to say not l'chaim, he used to say l'chaim u'levracha. So again, referring back to the Minhagim of the Chassam Sofer. So this is by Shalosh Shudas. By Shalosh Shudas, the Chassam Sofer would have a l'chaim tish. Like a Rebbe. He would have a l'chaim tish by Shalosh Shudas. Achakach mazak loy hanal, kois yayin, u'birech olav b'yir pri agafen. It's brought down in the Minhagim of the Chassam Sofer. That the Chassam Sofer had the same minig. And then it says, The Chassam Sofer was very makbid. This won't come as a surprise if you're halting cup of a lot of things we've spoken about from the Chassam Sofer over the years. Shelo yoimru l'chayim toivim. Why not? Ki l'chayim toivim begematria klala. L'chayim toivim is gematria 165. Klala is begematria kuf lamed lamed hey. That's easy math. 165. And the Chassam Sofer said that l'chayim toivim is begematria klala. So that's already not good. So what would he say? He would say l'chayim ulevracha. Regardless, this is this minute over here. Just to end with one thing. So we're talking about Adam Arishon and Adam Arishon's Aveira, and we're learning Mesachlis Brachas, and Mesachlis Brachas we learned about Hilchas Kriyashma and Tfila. So just to be Messiah with one very interesting thing, and that is on the note of above our prayer, which was sort of been the theme of the raid today, and that is just to stick on the topic of Kabbalah, right? So just one more ha'ara, and that is that Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. And after Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he immediately did tshuva, right? He did, not the Eitz Hadas. He immediately did tshuva, right? That's what he did. He immediately did tshuva. Darizal said that when Adam Rishon did tshuva, he davened. Why did he daven? Which tefillah did he daven? Which tefillah was it? To make a cheshbon. What time was it that Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas? So it's a Gemara. The Gemara says it's in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chenish, Shtei Mes Rishoyis Haveyim. The day is made up of 12 hours. Shor Rishoyna, the first hour of that day, meaning Yom HaShishi, the sixth day of creation, the day that Adam Rishon was created, Hutzbar Ofra, because Baruch Hu gathered the offer that eventually would be Adam. Shnia Nasa Goylom. Shlishis nimtachu evar. He got his evar. Revius nizruku by neshama. The fourth hour he got his neshama. Chamishis amad al raglov. He stood up. Shishis karashemus. He started naming everything. Shvius nizdabdu way chava. The seventh hour he was sachako 7 hours old. Chava. Shminis alu lamita. Shnayim yardu arba. Viyardu arba. They had two children. Kind of help. Shias nitzdava sheloi lechom in the ilon. In the ninth hour, he was told, "Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas." Asiris in the tenth hour of the day, sorach. In the tenth hour of the day, he did the avera. Achas esrei nidoin. In the 11th hour, he was judged. Shtei mesrei nitra. By the 12th hour, he was already thrown out of Gan Eden. V'holach leishenema adam bikar bal yolin. Didn't even make it one day in Gan Eden. But either way, when did Adam Arishon eat from the Eitz Hadas? He ate from the Eitz Hadas in the 10th hour. In the 11th hour, he was judged. The 12th hour, he was right out of Gan Eden. So which tefillah was it that Adam Arishon did tshuva on? Which tefillah was it? It was mincha. Said Darizal, that's the oimik of Eliyolo, and then Elabit tefillah sa mincha. The Gemara said, mincha is the most chashiv. We spoke, why is mincha the most chashiv? Can I get the minchas nesachim with the Talmud Shabbat Rabbayim? Said Darizal, derech side, that there's another secret here, because Adam Arishon did his aveir mamish mincha time, right by Shkia, the 10th, 11th, 12th hour of the night, and that of the day, and that's when Adam Arishon did tshuva, and tshuva is the tefillah, is one of the ikarim of tshuva, and David, and Adam Arishon did tshuva, he died. Which tefillah was it? It was mincha, and he was, and his tshuva was accepted. And the point is that's why mincha goes down as the most chashuv tefillah. That's why Eliyahu nano tefillah sa mincha. This is the rest of the story. It's because Adam Arishon's tefillah for his tshuva to be accepted was tefillah sa mincha. So I'll just tell again. This is above my pay grade, but one ha'ara, and that is we had mentioned earlier in the week a goyin, a gra in Chabakuk. Unfortunately, it didn't come out in the recording. And on the V2 version of this recording, we didn't speak out this gra. So for some, this is a round two. But we spoke at a Vilna Goyin as Pirush on Chabakuk. Chabakuk begins tefillah, or the third parak of Chabakuk begins tefillah l'chabakuk. Those are the words. Tefillah l'chabakuk says the Vilna Goyin in his Pirush on Chabakuk. I quote: Gimel tefillah is ksuvim. There's three times you find tefillah: tefillah l'Moshe, tefillah l'Ani, and tefillah l'David. You find tefillah l'Moshe, Yisrael Kim. Tefillah la'ani, and tefillah la'david. V'hein keneged gimel tefillahs. The reason you find three times tefillah in ksuvim, it's keneged the three tefillahs. Shachris, mincha, and arvis. Tefillah la'moisha is keneged shachris. Tefillah la'david is keneged mincha. Tefillah la'ani is keneged arvis. K'moisha ani ein le'klum, kach arvis u'b'lei mitzvahs, b'lei tzitzis u'tfillin. But says the Vilna Goyin, really there's a fourth. You know what the fourth one is? Tefillah l'chabakuk. Tefillah l'moshe, tefillah l'on, tefillah l'david. He's saying this on the pas, tefillah l'chabakuk. Says the Vilna Goyin, who keneged musaf. Tefillah l'chabakuk is keneged musaf. Shebetfilas musaf maskir mavinesenu. Shal yadam charev yireinu v'shav. Shom ebeis mikdashenu. Bnei chatoenu, galinu meyartzenu. And that's the spirit of the third parak of Chabakuk. That's why Chabakuk relates to musaf. Either way, this is a Vilna Goyin. So again, shachris is tefillah l'moshe. Mincha is tefillah leDavid. Ma'ir is tefillah leDavid. Where does it say tefillah leDavid? So tefillah leDavid is a pasuk in Tehillim. It's kapitel Yudzayim. It's pasuk Aleph. If you take a look at the Sefurna, in the beginning of kapitel Yudzayim, what is kapitel Yudzayim talking about? B'zeh ha-mizmar, hisvada, v'hispalel, David HaMelech, al-cheta b'Basheva. It's all about Basheva. David HaMelech was hukam oil, Chazal say. He was hukam ula shal tshuva. David HaMelech goes down as the symbol of tshuva. David HaMelech did an avera with Batsheva, Uriachiti, Kolomer David Chayta, Enei Yalataya. That's true, but at the same time, Chazal say he was hikim oil, he was hikim ula shal tshuva. Tehillim Perek Yud Zayin is about Batsheva. This is a tefillah leDavid that my tefillah should be answered. Shema Hashem Tzedek, Hakshiva Rinasi, Hazina Tefillasi, V'lo Yosef Zemirma. It was a tefillah of tshuva. It's tefillah sam mincha, says the Vilna Gaon. Because the tefillah of mincha is related to tshuva. It's that rizal. Adam Arishan was daven for tshuva. When did he daven for tshuva? It was by tefillah sam mincha. The tefillah leDavid, says the Gaon, that's mincha. Mincha, perhaps, it's because it's related to tshuva. So we spoke about tefillah sam mincha being a tefillah for shaduchim. Vayetze yitzchok lesuach basada, alzois yispalu kol chazal le'es mitzoy. That what did he daven for, says the Balaturim? He went to daven for a shaduch. So mincha is a tefillah for shaduchim. Now we know the rest of the story. It's a tefillah for shaduchim. It's also a tefillah. It's also a tefillah for tshuva. Adam Arishin's tefillah was by the 10th, 11th, 12th hour of the day. It was mincha. David HaMelech's tefillah leDavid, which is a tefillah for Basheva in Tehillim, Perek Yud Zayin. That was also, says the Vilna Gaon, in his Pirish of the third Perek of Sefer Habakkuk. That's also tefillah samincha.